Hi, I'm Shauna Meyerson with the Yoga of War podcast, here today with Israeli media maverick and IDF reservist Amos Eyal. If you appreciate and find value in these important discussions, please consider supporting the show so I can continue to bring you such amazing and esteemed guests. Details are pinned in the comments below. Before we begin, I want to acknowledge the brutal point blank murder last night of Israeli embassy staffers Yaron Lischinsky and Sarah Lynn Milgram in Washington, D.C. Their memories are forever a blessing. And I also want to point out that the mass media played no small part in inciting and fomenting the jihadi terroristic anti-Semitism that motivated that murderer. For many people around the globe, pro-Israel, anti-Israel, Jewish, non-Jewish, the October 7th war was their first real awareness of the Israel-Gaza conflict. We are all being bombarded day in and day out with a surreal narrative wherein 97% of all articles about the war cite Hamas terrorist sources rather than those of the legitimate democratic state of Israel. Or should I say, the Jewish state? Because let's be honest, this sickening and extremely detrimental bias is deeply anti-Semitic in nature. People don't want to say it, but it is. Don't believe me? How many times were ISIS, the Taliban, or Al-Qaeda sources quoted in the war on terror instead of the United States? I rest my case. But this extraordinary prejudice is actually not a new phenomenon at all. In fact, Amos Eyal founded the Press Service of Israel all the way back in 2010 because anti-Israel media agendas weren't just already a problem. They were already a crisis. Today, Amos juggles his elite IDF reserve service with his work as CEO of the Press Service of Israel, a man who has been honored by the State of Israel for his exemplary commitment to his nation. Amos is truly a hero on multiple fronts. Amos Eyal is the founder and CEO of the Press Service of Israel, the country's only news agency, which he established in 2010 to provide accurate on-the-ground reporting about Israel in response to biased international coverage. Under his leadership, TPSIL manages over 450 professionals and volunteers, partners with hundreds of media outlets globally, including in the Arab world, Europe, Latin America, and Asia, and has reached over 6 billion people in the past year. Amos also teaches communications and conflict zones at Reichman University and serves as a commander in an elite Israel Defense Forces reserve unit focused on anti-terror operations. Amos, thank you so much for both your service and your press service. And thank you for taking the time between them both to speak with us today.
Thank you, Shana, for having me here. It's a pleasure to speak to your channel.
Thank you. So, to start off this conversation today, for those who don't know what a news agency is, can you explain what TPSIL does and how it differs from a common media outlet?
Yeah, I think it's a great question because I'm facing it in almost every meeting that I have. When I'm saying what I'm doing, so they said, okay, where we can read your stuff? Why we never read your articles on your website? The nature of news agency is to be behind the scene, is to be the provider of news to other media outlets. News agency is not a news website, is not a TV and not radio station. It's the provider for all of them. So what is TPSIL is the, become is become the provider of fact from the ground, accurate information, pictures, videos, and article, that we supplying it to other media outlets that's giving their information to their own readership. So the fact is that people reading different website or watching different TV station and see an article, but we are the source in a lot of cases to this article and no one know that.
So basically, you're the Israeli equivalent of, say, the AP Newswire or Reuters, is that correct?
Yes, but AP, Reuters, and AFP are a global news agencies. They are international. They're not covering news for one region. They're covering news from all around the world. So they are much, much bigger than I am. But I'm I think better, like to explain it better, I'm like more in the size of national news agency of Bulgaria, national news agency of the Emirates. Each country in the world have at least one national news agency that she's providing the material to the local media, but also to international media about what's happened in the country.
Sure, I wasn't talking about size and scale, but really just what you actually do. Okay, well, thank you
So
for
yeah, they are a kind of my competitions, and I will explain, I think, in this conversation why I see them as my competitors, and why I think that they are the core of a lot of our problem in how the world cover Israel.
Absolutely. So, Amos, as I understand it, you were a pizza delivery man when you decided to change the entire global narrative about Israel. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm curious, how did you go about starting TPSIL, and like, what compelled you to take on such a monumental undertaking? Was there like a specific incident that made this such a personal imperative?
So again, I think it started much earlier in a younger age. From very young age, I was involved. Oh, I was really care about what's happened around me. I took a lot of initiative to try and help the public in Israel to make the life here better from my point of view. When I was 12 years old, it was the first time that I petitioned to the Israeli Supreme Court. As a 12 years old, I petitioned to the Israeli Supreme Court to ask them to move the Israeli soccer games from Saturday to a weekday. Why? Because my family, I grew up in a religious Orthodox family that couldn't watch soccer on Shabbat. I wasn't Orthodox, but I felt that is not fair. It's like really not makes sense that all the religious people, like the Orthodox people in Israel, cannot watch and go and play soccer in the league. So as a 12 years old, I went to different teams in Israel, their practice, and I signed them on petition saying we want to move the games to a weekday. And then I met someone that said, okay, I want to back you up and I want to go together with you to the Israeli Supreme Court in order to change that. So, you know, at 12 years old, going to the big court, and the result is that one of the games move every week to be on Sunday or Monday. When I was 14, I decided that I don't want to waste time in school. I felt it's a bit waste of time for me, but I want to learn and to do my exam. So I established my own school that I will study at night and I will work in the morning. So I work in the morning. I was the youngest medical clown in Israel back then. In the age of 14, I study medical clown. And what is medical clown? It's a clown that helps in hospitals to kids or adults to be more optimistic, to help them with the day-to-day treatments. Maybe people watch here the Patch Adams movie. So I think this is the admiration for this job. So every time that I saw that something is needs to be better, like need the help, I try to take the step and do it. I continue with doing it, with trying to. I was volunteering in organizations called One Family that's help supporting family victims of terror attacks. I was every time that they like really I saw a problem, I tried to fix it in my abilities. And after I finished my army service, I started to understand the huge problem in how the world sees Israel and how it affects us in every decision in the world, the getting decision based on lies, based on wrong information that they're getting through the media. So when I saw this and I understand that this is my goal, this is the problem. I decide to establish TPS IL and try to say, not to fight it, to win this war. So that's how I got to it.
How old were you?
23.
And was there a specific incident? I mean, did you wake up one day and say, this is it, something has to change right now, or this was just brewing for a while and you're like, today's the day to start, and you
So I'll give you the truth is that I established until today eight organizations, different organizations in different fields, from the legal field to the international relationship field. And every time that I see a problem, I'm trying to act. I had a few events that led me to establish the TPS, and they started by one of them was in my army service when I saw a soldier that running away from an event in a clash with Palestinians, and it was after the Second Lebanon War. And I asked like the soldier, why you are running away from the rock throwing for us? And they said, you didn't see it? They have cameras, and we are afraid that they will fake the picture and it will go after us. So I said, okay, so take a camera. And I started to give cameras to people on the ground and ask them, just take the video of what actually happened there, not without editing, just the full footage, full wide angle. I want to see and to show what really happens. And that was the beginning. Right after that, I started to understand and to learn how the world media work, because again, I started just focusing on videos, and then I saw it's pictures, it's investigative stories, it's videos, it's an article, it's a full content that media outlets needs, and they getting from biased sources. So I said I decided that instead of just complaining about that, I will supply better information, and I'll be their trusted source. When I started it, I got very not optimistic reactions. People was very like, how come you, as a pizza delivery guy, back then I was really a pizza delivery guy, how you think you can change world media? And I said, I will do it because I have to, and I will do it because it's missing. I think back then I started to check how the pro-Israeli or how the people that care about the Jewish people, how the people that care about Israel, trying to fight this terrible phenomena about the lies in the media. And I found mainly two ways of operations. One was to try in finding the media accountable for the lies or mistakes, and it's very important. But always it was always reactive after the lies or the mistakes already published. No one's the organization is see the article, complain. The media outlets need to process the complaint to check it, and then 3 days later they may be taking the article down and apologizing in a place that no one see. I said I don't want to do the same. And then I saw another way of action, that people trying to take the information from the media and explain, like to go to a specific crowd, let's say parliament members, or to go to a students association and try to convince them that what they read in the media, it's not what happened. And it's very specific effort, And at the same time that you're explaining them about one issue, they're getting hundreds of news items about other info, about other events, and they're getting so much poison that based on just not about the facts. So I said, I don't want to do this either. So what can I do? And I decided instead of complaining or trying to explain that this is not what happened, I will be the provider, the first provider of the truth of what's actually happened. How are you doing it? So I said, instead of like people like to talk, as I said, we don't need just to talk. We need to be there. We need to be on the ground. This is really a pure journalism. Unfortunately, a lot of the media outlets today kind of forget it or just lazy, too lazy or too tired of doing actually journalistic job. We need, and that's what we started to build, we need to be on every event, to be there, try to be the first, to take the pictures, to take the videos, and together with the fact from the ground to send the information to our customers, our media outlets, and getting our stories. So I started by building, I think it's a huge army of today, 450 volunteers all across the countries that they care for the mission, they care for the truth. We're training them. And then when something happened, we're sending them a request, and the closest person getting first to the event and giving us the information, the truthful story, the pictures, the video, and that's what helped us to really be the most professional media outlets today in Israel because we are on the source, on the ground.
Yeah, definitely a lost art in media today and journalism. There's just no integrity left. So I love that you're bringing integrity back. And when you say that, you know, when people question like how can a pizza guy go and change the whole world, media narrative, and your answer is such an Israeli answer. I saw a problem, it had to be fixed, and I did what I did to fix it. And I think that that's that very concept is why Israel is still a country today, because it's very similar to what Golda Meir said to Joe Biden when she said we have a secret weapon, and he thought for sure she was about to disclose the nuclear power, but instead she said we have no choice, and that's why.
We have no choice, but we need to add for that like a clear vision and strategy. And that's what I find that a lot of people was lack in this field. That's my background. Okay. That's what I know to, how what to do is to build the strategy, to build the goals, and really to not just, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, you becoming in love in fighting. Not in solving the problem, not in changing reality. And that's what I'm trying to be different. I'm not trying to fight. I'm trying to work with. I'm trying to see and build a plan for the next 10 years, not just for tomorrow, but how to change reality. And it's proved itself. I have to say, like in the beginning, it was very hard. You know, a new news agency, a new source, starting and trying to be a supplier from world media. They never heard about us. Why they want to work with us? So the answer is it didn't. And we needed to explain them and to show them and to prove them. But that changed because we built in the same time, on the same time, our reputation, our branding, the awareness to what we do. To the fact that today media outlets from all around the world, including countries that never got information from different information about Israel, they got it just from the Palestinians or Hamas and AP and Reuters. They coming to us, they connecting us and asking to work with us. So, you know, it's I didn't thought and it wasn't easy, but you're getting to a point that things changing to become easier or that because you're building your reputation and you're proving your concept or you're proving your accuracy and professionalism.
That gives me a lot of hope. Let me ask you, Amos. We've got a lot to cover in the next 40 minutes. So I want to ask your personal opinion. Now that you've been in the media space or with the mass media space for 15 years, why do you think that the mass media is so prejudiced against Israel and partial to its terrorist enemies?
So, I have two different answers to this question. First of all, what is the mass media? Where are they
So,
getting their information from? Like, you're talking about mass media all around the world. How many media outlets you have there? Tens of thousands of media outlets. But how many have representative in Israel? Maybe in a peak, maybe 1,000. Now, the most of the days, it's like around 200 media outlets have representative in Israel. So how they know what's happened? They're all getting their stories from news agencies, from news sources. That's exactly we going back to, yeah.
I understand that. So let me when I say mass media, I do want to clarify. I'm including the actual sources. So let's rephrase the question. Why do you think your competitors, the AP, Reuters, etc., are so prejudiced against Israel and partial to its terrorist enemies, knowing they are the ones informing the actual media outlets?
Okay, so this is a very good question that I don't have a complete answer to it because I cannot understand. I don't understand it completely. But I know I have a few reasons. I know a few reasons. One of the, like, if you really, so people want to know better about how IPs operate, I would recommend them to read the article from Matti Friedman. He wrote a great expose about the internal system of AP, Associated Press, in the media. And I think you can really understand better what happened there. He's talking about how it's easy to cover news stories in Israel and it's harder in other places, and how they're becoming in love with narrative. But if you read it, I think it will be much more easy for me to explain everything.
Yeah,
But
I actually linked that in my conversation that I had with Camera, but I will put the article in the show notes for this show as well, because it was a groundbreaking article.
100%. I have to say that I spoke with another person in AP, was the editor of Matti Friedman, that told me the same things, Mark. And it's become kind of well known that they have a system there that thinking. Now, think about it. For 30 years, they're getting sources, Palestinian sources all the time. They're getting escort when they're coming to Israel from Palestinians and teaching them what they need to cover. They always love to show like the Palestinian as the weak side because it's helped to rating. They're working in the Arab world. If they will be too much pro-Israel, they cannot work in Gaza. They cannot work in the Palestinian Authority. In Israel, it doesn't matter what your opinion, you can work freely. In Gaza, it's not so easy. Like if you are it's controlled by Hamas will decide if you can work there or not. So you cannot work, you write something against Hamas when you are wants to work travel and cover Gaza. Same in other Arab countries, cities. So you really, I think you have a lot of different reasons. I think also the fact that we see it today with inside the US with a lot of students that they really feel that if they want to do something, they need to support the Palestinians. Why? Because for years they read just a story after story that is really not giving the context, the right context. They don't giving the full story. When something terrible happened in Israel, it's not getting headlines. When something happened in Gaza, doesn't matter who fault it is or what's happened there, is always will be the headline. So they're getting year, day by day, year by year, a story, a certain kind of story. If you read every day that Israel murdered just kids in Gaza, small kids in Gaza, will not hate Israel, you will hate Israel. But you are lucky that you understand better and you have other sources because you're reading other, not just your own local newspaper that getting the his story from the APs and Reuters. And you understand it is much more complicated from that. And maybe it's also the opposite.
Yeah.
The other students that don't have Jewish sources and they don't have Israeli sources and don't have different sources, that's what they know. And they are the people that are going to work after that in AP and Reuters also. So I think you have a lot of reason for that. I cannot say 100 that I understand it 100% because again, I spoke with very good people that working in AP and I asked them and they just said, this is the mentality of the organization.
Yeah, and that's like an easy explanation that we've all heard. But the problem is, the truth is that they could just as easily, if they really, really want to double down on this oppressed narrative, they could have just as easily framed Israel as the underdog. I mean, we're talking about a country that's 1/500th the side of the Arab world that surrounds it, and point zero, we're
But
talking
then
about
they
the
cannot. But then they cannot work in Gaza. They cannot work in the in different
exact.
countries. They cannot get cover Lebanon. They cannot cover. Like again,
Right.
they can do it rationally.
I understand what you're saying, but there could be a formal decision by the media to return to objectivity, and then nothing is pro anyone. It's just the facts. That's what journalism was set up to be. And it seems like you and TPSIL are playing that fair game against a very unfair competitor.
It's true, but I'll be here a bit more, a bit open about it. Journalists have his own opinion. Okay, it's a fact how he's covered a story. You cannot run away from that. You can say that you are 100% objectivity, but then you're lying to yourself because you have your own background. You have your own experience. When something happened, you already in your gut, you think, I need to interview this guy because he will give me the answer that I think that is true. So you can no, I don't really think that any journalist can be 100% objective. That's why I'm not talking about objectivity. I'm talking about accuracy and about professionalism because you need to understand that you are not 100% objective, but you need to try and give the whole all angles. Also, if you are believing some in other things like for example I truly believe in the right of Israel to fight in Gaza but still I know that you have their other things like that affecting the citizenship in Gaza
Okay.
and that's what I'm missing a lot in them in AP. I don't think they can be objective but I think they need to try and balance the report. Also, if it's hard for them, it's not, if it's not going with their feeling and
Yeah. I'm going to push back on it, and I do want to move on, but it's not that they can't, it's that they won't. And I'll give as a case in point, someone like Alan Dershowitz, who I believe defended the Nazis who marched in Skokie. That is pure objectivity going just against about constitutional law, but against his own beliefs. That's not a reporting issue, but it is a decision to insert bias into media rather than just giving the facts. It just is.
Again, it's not a matter of objectivity, it's a matter of balancing yourself. And
Yeah.
that's what you need to be aware. Like just be aware of what your position and what you believe and try to fight it. Try to fight the DNA of you, like the instinct, the saying, okay, I want to give says a story and fight it and give the full story. And that's what I believe. Again, that's what I'm trying to also teach my students. It's
Yeah.
not easy. It's very hard to fight that. But this is the goal of journalism. Don't be
Yeah.
objective because if you are 100% objective, you don't have nothing that's pull you or like nothing that you really care about. You need to be care about something to do a important to be a good journalist. you need to be care about issues, but you need to try and inside that to understand how to be fair and balanced, not just pushing an agenda.
Yeah. Okay. Let me switch into a little bit more of a quick sort of logistical issue about TPS. Hi. So I first of all, let me just note that the Jerusalem Post recently honored you as one of their top visionaries for the remarkable job you've done in informing the world about the facts surrounding Israeli news. The timing of that was unfortunate, and we actually had that discussion with Rabbi Sherman, who was in your cohort of honorees at that same exact moment. So mazel tov on that. I mean, you're really influencing the global narrative about the Jewish state. And just curious, I know the answer, but the audience doesn't. Do you receive any funding from the government of Israel for the work that you do?
Not at all. We are very independent NGO, not for profit. I started it with no one that backed me up, just by myself. Like, again, it's important. We go back to the pizza delivery guy. I got tips from my deliveries, so I bought cameras with that money. And then people start to recognize what we do and start to support us. And it's all funded by amazing people that care about this issue, but we're keeping ourselves independently, mostly really from the government, but from everything, because we believe that the most important part is to bring the truth and to bring the accuracy, the accurate information. But it's important to say it's not different from other news agencies. Also, the AP, Associated Press, is not for profit. People are not aware, but these are also not for profit, getting a lot of funds from different foundations. Different news agencies have different methods of how they build. You have companies like Reuters, you have partially owned by the government, like AFP, French government, and you have not for profit. So we choose to be a not for profit, not to be owe nothing to no one, and just to the public.
Yeah, that's amazing. Amos, could you talk a little bit about so I was gonna say like what did TPSIL look like when it was founded? Of course, back then it was called Tatzpit, press service. Even the name has changed. But what did it look like when it was founded, and what does it look like now? I mean, you've given us a glimpse into you handing out cameras to people to now 450 staffers and volunteers. But how has TPS evolved in general over the last 15 years?
Wow, it was a very dramatic change. Back then, five cameras on the field. I'm like taking my motorcycle, going. You know, back then it wasn't digital; it all was analog. So I drove to places to take tapes, like a videotape, to take to another computer to upload it, to send it to the media, just me by myself. And then I got one volunteer, amazing person. His name is Eud. 2010, he started to help me with managing. Like when something happened, he was always on top of it and send messages. 15 years later, he's still working with us as the one that's sending the first information and to the our photographer to go and jump to the plane and to go to the place. But it was just two of us. And then I found a bit budget and I brought someone to start and write articles. So he wrote one article a week and we started to send it to the media outlets. And it was very slow process of increasing manpower, still missing a lot, but it was very hard. I think again, the big change happened in 2019. When we got a request from the World Congress of News Agencies. It's an event that gathered together 100 news agencies from all around the world, or all the national news agencies, the official news agencies internationally, in one place. So they invited us to take part. I went there. I met all our friends and partners or like media outlets, news agencies from around the world, and they ask me one question: where you been until now? Where Israel has been? It's important to say that the Palestinians have several news agencies, and Israel never had their own news agencies to supply her material, and they waited for that. They said, we want to get the story from Israeli, from TPS. So we started to work with them in cooperation. The first news agency that we started to supply her with the materials from Israel was Azotag, the national news agency of Azerbaijan. And then we started to work with Armenia and Romania and different country in the national level. It means that we're sending them the information, the news agency, and they're supplying to all their local media outlets. Today, we supplying material to 44 countries around the world. And that happens because today we have reporters, we have an editor, we have videographer and video editor, and we have small staff that's succeeding to produce the information every day. We're still missing a few positions, and mostly the budget for this position. That's my job is to go and meet Jewish communities around the world and in Israel to try and find people that can support our work. For fact, I will be next month in Chicago, New York, to speak about TPS and see how we can really make a bigger impact. And like I said, everything here is with clear strategy. So our goal that in 5 to 10 years we'll reach every year, every day, sorry, around 2 billion people worldwide. It will be a game changer. And we have the way to do it. We have the names of the organizations that we need to work with them to for that to happen. So we just I feel today that the only thing that holding us a bit back is a budget issue and manpower issue. But that's where we are today. We just be there. We supply. We have a website with around 200,000 pictures and videos for media outlets that can get everything that they need about Israel. They can get the video, they can get the picture, they can get it on live, but also can go to the archive. And if they need something from the past, they can find it there. So we're giving them the full story, we give them the breaking news and pictures and videos every day.
Yeah, amazing. And I do have those links in the show notes. And I also want to say that when you were at that conference in 2018, I blogged about it in the Times of Israel. So that blog post can still be found on my Times of Israel post about you and that groundbreaking moment. So you mentioned earlier that Reuters and Associated Press are sort of your competitor, so to speak. And you're fighting a profoundly uphill battle, but of course you're a warrior. So, what have been some of your biggest wins, wherein like you reported a particular story perhaps differently than one of the bigger news agencies, and your story broke through?
Look, I will say for fact the biggest success that we have, that's one that you will never heard about them. Why? Because our goal is to send the first story. If we're sending the first story with the right with the pictures, videos, and the right headline, that's what published. Other media outlets will not take different stories. So the idea of us is not reacting to what the other is writing. It's just to write what we do in the fastest time that will be able to prevent lies to go live online. So that's perfect. But we have other stories. We have, of course, I had a story that we had photographers in Gaza. And it was, I think, 4 years ago, a bomb was exploded on the beach in Gaza, and Hamas blamed Israel of killing every day, like killing innocent people on the beach. One of the biggest news agencies in the world, the Spanish news agencies, took their Hamas word, made the story much nastier, saying Israel is killing every day innocent people in Gaza, and sent it to their customers. Their customers are all around the Spanish, like the Latin America and Spain and Spanish speaking countries. But almost no one took this story. Why? Because we were there with our photographer first. We took the picture, we show it was Hamas bomb that killed these fishermen. And we sent it to our partners in Spain that sent this article to their customers 40 minutes before the other news agency. So everyone used our story, and never, no, almost no one picked the big one, like the big news agency story. So this is for me a huge success. Now, of course, also in the October 7th, when we started to cover the events on the ground, I was there. I was myself in Sderot, in Zikim. I took the picture, and we started to share the story on live. And our partner news agency from Pakistan used our stories, not the Palestinian story of what happened in October 7th, and not just in Pakistan, in Italy, in Bulgaria. They got it right from beginning. After that, we exposed the pictures of training rifles inside UNRWA schools. It was one of our photographers. They took these pictures, and it was worldwide. We were able to expose the wrong information about the killing number of people, and to show it was Hamas. It was males from the age of 18 to 40. Most of the people that were killed in Gaza, and not others. I think we have very like a lot of stories. I think our latest story that was for me a very important one was to expose just 2 weeks ago what the quiet the secret BDS operation against the Israeli archaeologists, the digging in Judea and Samaria. It was a lot of professional magazine and universities decide to boycott every archaeologist that digging in Judea and Samaria, and to hide their finding, because again they don't want to show the Jewish roots there. And that's for me was very important and successful story that was appearing also, of course, in the US, in all UK, all around the world, to show it. I have so many examples how we expose things with our documentation, how we expose stories with our investigations reports. But the most important part is just to give the truth day by day. Again, it's not by one story, it's to give the stories day by day. And we saw it. Countries that we gave them the stories every day about what happened October 7th, we saw how the voting also against the call to Israel and a war crime country in the UN, few of them, Albania and other. Like you see the influence. Now, I cannot say just because of our article, but for sure, if you see different wording, also a fact on the ground, understanding the cause of what happened, and not just focusing in a very narrow angle, people understanding, and it's have to be day after day after day, because this is news. This is what, each one of us building what he knows and what he believe based, sorry, building what he believe based on what he knows. And if you know the facts and you know what really actually happened in Israel, you understand that Israel is amazing country. They're trying to do good to the world. We have a huge and really we were under almost the worst situation that we can. We were not in the worst, but it could be much more terrible, the situation on October 7 and after, when countries, Iran and Hezbollah and from Gaza, they try to attack us simultaneously. and to kill our families. And Israel was forced to do something with it. But it's important to share. It didn't end. They still want to kill us all in Gaza. The fact that the army operate there is not because what happened on October 7th. It's because what will happen if we will not do it. And you just need to, before October 7th, we said to the few people here, be careful because something is going to happen. We had picture of the training of Hamas training to take over our communities, to take over our tanks and everything. I have the pictures. Everyone can see it on our website still, and we said it, but people didn't want to believe, and that's the cause of October 7th. Not because we didn't know, because we didn't want to believe. You just need to listen to what they said and believe in what they said. And they're still saying it. They say, you want to destroy Israel. We want to expel everyone from here. So that's why we still need to be there. We still need to fight. Not because what happened, because we want what we want to prevent from happening.
Yeah, and fighting this on the news front is just a whole nother way of getting that information out so people understand. Before we get into a little bit of that deeper stuff, and we're running out of time, so maybe we'll keep the answers a little briefer. But I just want to know, I think you said you're working with 44 different countries, if that was correct.
In
I would,
the national level, yes.
yeah. So,
We have more countries in with individual news media outlets.
do you see a significant difference in media reporting in the nations that subscribe to your feed versus those who don't?
In a lot of them, yes. Again, not all of them using the same amount and the same coverage on the same coverage of what we supply. With the ones, and it's a lot of them that's using every day, we see change.
So a big problem with this war is that people rushing to stories without fact checking. It also sounds from what you're saying that being basically the first person with the story is probably the most important point in getting a story to print. So with those two conflicting objectives, how does TPSIL ensure that you are providing factual but also timely information before, again, it becomes more reactionary?
By sending someone to the field and in the net, in like our average of sending pictures and videos in the event that we are there, it's 9 minutes. So when you are there so fast and you see in your own eyes as a reporter, it's much harder to have mistakes. Again, most of the media outlets are not, they are not getting to the place in the first hour or after also, like more than an hour. So if you are there, you're getting it much more correct, and you understand it much faster. That's what I build here. I'm trying to build like the. It's kind of funny to say it. I'm trying to build journalism that will be professional, but basically, I'm going back to what journalism was back then, when you couldn't cover a story by sitting in your coffee shop and just following tweets and Facebook. You need to get to the field. You need to see it. You need to interview the people and to do the legwork. That's what we're doing back. That's what we're doing now.
Yeah. Let's say in a perfect world, every news outlet from the BBC to the New York Times to CNN and maybe like even Al Jazeera suddenly is getting the TPSIL feed. Even given all the facts, do you think that the world is willing to give fair and balanced, unbiased reporting on Israel?
Look, not all the media outlets worldwide have the same agenda. I don't want to be greedy. I will not, I, I'm not, I don't see any, not any, but almost an opportunity that everyone will have the same stories. I want to give the option to see something else. And not everyone is New York Times, and not everyone is the Wall Street Journal. They have different opinion, different as I just want them, all the media worldwide, to take and compare and to check. If that's what will happen, I'm happy with my place. I know that they will use my information because I don't want to regret after that and to need to change. Not again, not all of them. Al Jazeera, I guess, will never use my material as is because they have a huge, not just agenda, but the money of the Al Jazeera coming from a political government that have their own agenda. So I don't think that all the media outlets worldwide will have the same news about Israel, but I want to give the chance to all of them or most of them just to see something different, to see what's out, what the facts are.
So Amotai, I've actually known you for years, and I've seen how much of your heart and soul you've put into this project. Would you say that TPSIL, because you've accomplished so much, has been your life's mission, or is it?
Look, my life mission is to help the Jewish world, to prepare the Jewish people, and to help the country. I see TPS as the most important mission to help Israel internationally in fighting against anti-Semitism and lies. My life mission is, I think, is a bit, it's not in just in this field. I will do everything that I can do to help our people. It can be in TPS and also in the army and also in the other initiatives. But for the sake of the Jewish people, TPS must have to succeed, have to be bigger and stronger.
You just touched upon very, very briefly, and again, we're gonna keep this short, but about your desire to defend your country in all ways, and like so many Israelis after the horrors of October 7th, you immediately that day dropped everything to volunteer for the reserves and have been on active reserve duty ever since. Just a few weeks ago, you were honored with the prestigious Award of Excellence by the Israel Defense Forces for your outstanding leadership and service as a commander of a Special Forces Reconnaissance Unit. So, first of all, mazel tov.
Thank you.
Second of all, kol hakavod. And third of all, what does this honor mean to you?
Look, it was very hard in the last sitting Silver 7 because I know how important it is the work that I'm doing in TPS. And with all of that, I felt that I have to do to serve and to do my time in the army. So the reward for me gave kind of a proven that I did something, that I did a good decision to be maybe just 50% or a bit less in TPS because, again, we have a great staff that helped me to keep the work and continue and to give 50% of my time to the army because both of the missions important and I'm happy that the army saw that I did also important job there, that I didn't waste my time in reserve. That's what I think it gave me. But
I love
again, rewards is not, I don't live for the rewards and I don't so care so much about the rewards. I care about the mission. The only thing that the reward gave is that kind of improvement that I did. I did good in what in my missions.
Yeah, you did. And you've already done and accomplished so many deep and meaningful things in your life. I'm just curious, what would you say is your ultimate goal in life?
My ultimate goal in life is really to be able to say that we succeeded to reduce the anti-Semitism based on lies. And that's the goal of TPS. It's kind of coming together. That's the mission, that's the goal for me that I gave to myself. And I said, I truly believe that if people will read the truthful stories, the fact like it is, it's not that the anti-Semitism will vanish, but for sure we will be able to reduce the anti-Semitism based on the lies. And this is my goal. This is what I'm today all fo focusing in all my professional life.
So important. So, as we wrap up, I just want to quote a beautiful summation of the work that you and TPSIL do. This is a quote. Today's conflict is being fought on many fronts, on the ground, in the headlines, and across digital platforms. As Ahmad switches between his roles as commander and CEO, the lessons learned in the field directly shape how we operate, sharpening our global media strategy, guiding our rapid response efforts, and equipping our team to confront misinformation with clarity and impact. This is what defines us. A leadership team that understands the battlefield, both physical and informational, and brings that frontline mindset to the international media war. Ahmad, I did put it in the show notes, but can you say specifically how can people support TPSIL and your mission?
Yeah, so what we really need is support, financial support to help to recruit more professional team to make sure that we're covering 24/7 news. It's not easy. It's need to be video, photos, and written information 24/7. So we need to increase our manpower. You can help us by going to TPSIL website and to donate button or connecting me. It can be very helpful. Also, you can invite me to speak in your community, in your synagogue or parliament meeting in your community, and to introduce me to people that can support our mission. I will come to the US because it's very, very important for all the Jews around the world and the seekers of truth. So I'm sure like again, you can find me LinkedIn, you can find me Facebook also through Shana, and I'll be happy for any support. It's our mission as the Jewish nation to make sure that we supplying the truth, not just complaining.
Amen. And we did have you at our synagogue at Sinai Temple, so I could attest to the fact that it was a wonderful conversation and that people really should consider. Amos, while you're here, and you said in Chicago and New York, is that a trip that is extendable if there are other people who at that moment in America would want you to come or have the means to bring you to there? Or is this a sort of a finite trip and it would have to be a separate trip?
Everything is on the table. Again, in the end, like I said, I have the big mission, and for that, I will do a lot of. I will be flexible.
Okay.
Like I said, we see the end goal, and then we building the strategy for that. Oh, that's how we're building strategy. First of all, you need to point to the goal.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. What does Am Yisrael Chai mean to you?
Wow, Am Yisrael Chai is our. It's not just by living that the nation of Israel will live. It's also how we will live, and how we'll be and as one nation. And one of the things that really bother me all the time is how we can be more close to each other, and how we can be more friend for each other, and care about each other. That's what helped to the Jewish nation for all the years, the fact that we help one to each other. And I think we need to keep ourselves alive by a strong army, by fighting lies and anti-Semitism, but we also have to keep ourselves as a nation, as a one group, and to be care about one to each other and to be helpful to one to each other. I know we hear the news about what's happening in Israel. How the political spectrum, like how the right fighting the left. keeping in mind in the end, we are the same. We are one nation. We are Am, and we need to live together. And this is Am Yisrael Chai for me.
Amen. Amot, thank you so much for finding the time between your service and your work to speak with us today. It's deeply, deeply appreciated. And thank you for everything that you do. You're truly changing the world.
Thank you, Shana, and thank you for your support for all these years. And it's ju not just this conversation. We know back each other back for years, and you're supporting us. And thank you so much for what you're doing for to the Jewish people. Thank
Thank you.
you.
Well, I believe in everything that you do. Am Yisrael Chai.
So